I'm going to go ahead and call the November 24th, 2020 meeting of the Board of Trustees of Jerusalem Township to order. We are meeting via Zoom. We'll begin with a moment of silence, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance. Let me very quickly change my screen share. And let's proceed with a moment of silence, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, thank you. Joel, roll call, please.
Okay, roll call, Mark Sattler.
Present.
Bill Miller.
Present.
Dave Bench.
Present.
Roll call complete.
Thank you. All right, minutes. I believe Joel sent the minutes out of the November 11th meeting, the last meeting. Were there any questions, or is there a motion to accept?
It's November 10th meeting.
I'm sorry, November 10th. Got it. Okay.
So moved. Seconded.
Okay, roll call. Mark Sattler?
Yes.
Bo Miller?
Yes.
Dave Bench?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Fiscal Office report, Joel?
Everybody get their reports, either pick them up or got them in an email?
Yep, I have it. Very good. Thank you for printing them off for us, Joel. We appreciate that.
So let's start with what we have in our Star Ohio account, $597,806.58. $342,409.35 in our checking account at Krogan Bank. And we've made payments since last meeting, warrant numbers 19155 through 19220, totaling $127,020.22. And then deposits that we've made since last meeting, totaling $10,335.27. Any questions on any of the payments or deposits or
anything? Yeah, Joel, what's that Ohio Department of Natural Resources? I'm curious.
So every time the fire department responds to a call that is considered a wildlife fire, we get paid by the Department of Natural Resources to enter that report into their system.
Okay, I kind of thought that, but I wanted to check. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Joel, a quick question. There is a receipt number 216-2020. Appears to be tagged as a donation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going into general funds.
Mm-hmm.
Just curious.
I don't know. Two checks were on my desk from Dave. Dave, I think those came from you.
Yeah, they were from the Kings. They used the hall, and they just gave donations.
Oh, got it. Okay.
That was where Awake were.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Thanks. Any other questions on the fiscal report?
The only thing I had on which I don't, are you going to touch on the appropriation status, Joel, or no?
Oh, yeah. Man. Well,
I
read the fund status. You have a specific question about on the account?
Well, what I wanted to know was did these, appropriation status that we've got today, do these reflect the CARES Act?
Yes.
The monies that were pretty like general fund minus going back in?
That's everything from our last special meeting.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Yep. So if you look at that, it went down to $88,109.97, which, well, we'll talk about that, right? We're going to get a very small amount. I thought it was more, but...
about $4,000, I thought.
Right. So, really, realistically speaking, we're going to be able to use all of this CARES Act money and not give any back. If and potentially just use some of our money if, you know, necessary for things like to finish it up, which we'll talk about later. But, you know, that's good because at first I didn't think that how it was going to go, but we've been very conservative and have utilized this money very well. So, yeah, I don't want to give any of it back at this point.
Great. Looking at that account, 2272, the unencumbered balance is 36.7. There's another 4,000 that's just coming in, so you'll have what, maybe like a $40,000 unencumbered balance. I got that right?
All the money was encumbered, was allocated, just not spent.
Okay, it is showing an unencumbered balance right now.
Hold on. What are you looking at?
Page 10 of 11.
Okay, hold on. Give me a second. I didn't print off one of those for me, so page 10?
Page 10, correct.
So 88,109.97 unencumbered, well, yeah. 36,000 is so, like, you don't encumber wages like you do the other accounts. You see how everything else is reserved for encumbrance?
Yeah, there's a little bit in operating supplies.
Yeah, $127, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So it's all encumbered except.
So they don't go into the reserve for encumbrance.
Because reserve for encumbrance is zero. It's all a blanket certificate. Every single dollar is assigned to these accounts. They are not allocated. All the money is encumbered in the 2272 fund into one of those accounts.
Okay, it just appears differently on the report, is all.
Right, well, because that's how you read it. So unencumbered means not allocated because you don't open a purchase order for wages.
Right.
And,
okay, that makes sense.
Yep. There's no purchase order for wages. It's just there, and that's what we have not spent. So that money is still in the, it's still appropriated. It is still encumbered in the 2272 fund. We did not just deposit the money in the bank and not say we're going to use it in a specific place. So, just like we're going to get a couple $1,000s, right, three or whatever it is, we're going to have to deposit the money and then appropriate the money. So we should probably put that on our agenda item, too. Might as well, since we know what that amount is. Sorry. Let's put that as an item. But I guess if you have any questions about the reports, the payments, the deposit.
I have no other questions.
Okay.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Is there a motion to approve the fiscal reports as presented?
I so moved.
That's Dave.
I can second that.
Second from Bo. Thank you.
Roll call. Mark Sattler?
Yes.
Bo Miller?
Yeah.
Dave Bench?
Yes.
Motion carried. So let's go right to that item. So I sent an email out today. Everybody saw, or some of you saw that. The county auditor indicated that we're going to receive some money that was not spent by townships in the county, right?
Right.
So we should probably go ahead and appropriate that money into the 2272 account so that when it does show up, we're going to go ahead and, spend that money.
Right, agreed. Yeah, that's a $3,279.19. right. reallocated monies.
Right. Yep. So can I have a so that'll bring the balance, that'll bring the total appropriation from 88,109. Well, what was the original? Hold on, it's on that report. The original appropriation for that fund. Hold on. Give me a second. I did not think we were gonna do this, but then again.
Yeah, sorry.
No. It came up today and it's let's just be our original. Okay, our appropriation for 2272 was $137,007.59. And if we take that 3,000, what was it, Mark?
3279.19.
So that'll give our that'll make it our total appropriation for that fund 140,286.78.
All right.
So I just need a motion
to. You need us to vote on appropriating those reallocated monies?
Yes, so that we can spend that money right away.
Great. So is there a motion to appropriate the reallocated monies of $3,279.19 that we just received from county?
We will. We will receive from the county.
We will receive it. Is there a motion?
I still don't know.
That's Dave. Is there a second?
I can second that.
Second from Bo.
Okay. Roll call, Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Ohio Bureau of Workers' Compensation notified me the other day we're going to receive in December a payment dividend of $42,837. All that money we paid them, they gave it, giving us some money back. So I'm just letting you guys know that money is going to go into the there's three funds that I pay workers' compensation out of. The fire fund, which is the greatest, the road and bridge fund, and then the general fund are the second least due to the number of employees that you have.
Yep.
And so I'm going to, put half of that in the fire fund back into there, into the 2191, and then split the other half up amongst the road and bridge and the general fund. So additional money's flowing back into those funds. It's just more of an FYI. So we know that that's some resources that we received.
Very good. Okay.
And then we also have on this agenda item CARES Act purchase for approval. So, Tony, do you want to talk a little bit?
Yeah, I'd like to. So I seeked out a couple vendors on turnout gear, which if we could replace the turnout, not replace, if we could get a second set of turnout gear would be crucial for us, and I know other departments are doing the same, getting a second set. So when our guys are encountered potentially with any COVID, that way that set of gear can be gone through the extractor, go through the cleaning and drying purpose, and then, but when we do that, it, every time it takes the individual's gear out of service for about, by the time you get the wash cycles and the drying in there, we're a good 8, 10, 10 or 12 hours before we can get that gear back. That's if someone's here able to do that. With us being a volunteer department, that's an extremely additional challenge for us. So sometimes gear will get washed, but if it doesn't get pulled out and put in the, on the dryer rack right away, we end up, it's a delay. And then when the individual, turnout gear is no fun. It's no fun to wear. It's no fun to put back together. So when you have to wash things separately and you have to put gear back together again, it's a little cumbersome to do. It's not like you throw everything in one wash and that's it. So with that being said, if we have the ability of CARES Act money to purchase a second set of gear for everyone for these concerned issues with COVID, that's what I would really like.
Chief. How close are you, Chief, to getting selecting a vendor and a quote or a bid for that?
I have quotes in front of me right now and I wanted to explain. So in the past, we had used different vendors. We're not changing our spec at all. The spec is going to remain the same, virtually the same, and so that makes it easy for the vendors to quote it. Where it changes is when we look at the different specs, there are grade A, which would be your best, grade B, which would be your second best, and grade C is your third. And that coincides with a correlation of putting your spec and everything together. The gear that I would like to purchase is the A gear at this time. I did have them provide me a copy of a spec from another department. And the one big change in that gear was a incorporated life safety belt, which none of our gear has that at all. The outer shell covering, Bo will understand these things probably slightly better than the other two of you because he understands turnout gear. The outer shell is a PBI. That is the top of the line. I want to make sure that we're providing the absolute best protection. I think in two areas, by making this choice, both our BWC partner would look at this as a positive that we're providing the absolute best protection, and then in our ISO rating with the insurance agents would also view this as a positive that we would be doing this. So I did see quotes for 30 sets of gear. We are at 30 personnel now, no extra, just exactly the amount of personnel that we have. And the gear that I would like to purchase, that total price is $86,880. And that incorporates everything that we would need and provide us a great second set of gear for this COVID situation. I can provide you numbers if you want to hear numbers on different gear, but when I tell you those are step down versions. So none of which have that safety belt incorporated in it. The safety belt is again something that we don't currently have, but if anyone is doing ladder work or roof work, it is a certified life safety connection for the individual to tie off to him in person, and it's also a life safety for self-rescue if you had to bail out of a second-story or third-story window.
Okay. Chief, what did you mean by step-down version?
When I refer to a step-down version, the outer shell protection is not the same as the for instance, the PBI is the top of the line. It provides you not only the best in thermal protection, it provides in more flexible movement for the individual. Some gear is, when you wear it, it's like putting a parka on and you've got all this stuff and your movement is somewhat limited because of the bulkiness of the gear. So the outer shells, being made of different materials, have different resistance to movement. The PBI has the highest rating in the as far as the thermal protection. It has the highest rating in the carcinogen protection for the carcinogen particles. Now that's a combination of the outer gear and the inner gear, because you have the turnout gear is comprised of several layers. You have your outer thermal protection, you have an inner vapor barrier protection, you have another wicking application, Our knees, those are padded, protected knees, because it's just the biggest impact point. One of the biggest thing firefighters are dying from is stress on the body, and it's more happening after the fires. It's even surpassing cardiac now. So, directly related to the stress, the overexertion, the efforts that were all done during the firefighting activities. So, I want to revisit the outer shell coverings. So you have an A, which is, I would say, the PBI. You have a B, which is a can be referenced as a I'm looking it up right now. In front of me. I'm just trying to give you the right names. Combat Flex, Gold Outer Shell. That one just doesn't give you the same thermal protection as the PBI does. It's one less lower. In our original spec of what we had, that was Armor AP material. So that's now on the lower end. The absolute lowest end would be just a straight Nomex. The one that we have is a Nomex and armor AP mix of materials. So the thermal barriers are the same. The inner thermal barriers, nothing's really changed on those. I've personally looked at the gear from the two different manufacturers, and I'm just, but I'll be apples, you know. I just want to let you know where we're at and stuff. So,
right.
So I have, Chief, I have a question for you and for Joel. Joel, I assume that you are, you know, there have been a number of COVID compliant expenses that have been submitted for consideration. I'm assuming, Joel, that once you apply all of those, and if the amount that the chief is asking for is greater than what is remaining, that we'll apply all of the remaining COVID monies to that, and then any excess cost then would come out of the fire fund budget. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes.
Okay, Chief, are you comfortable with that?
I am comfortable with that, yes.
Okay. So, I absolutely support ensuring that our firefighters have the best possible protection. That's a life safety issue. You know, comfort and maneuverability is important, but you know, keeping them safe is critical. But just so we understand that excess then could hit your budget.
Yes, sir. I do understand.
Very good.
Chief, I have a quick question. That's just the bunker pants and bunker coat, correct? We're not buying.
That is correct.
Okay.
It is.
So helmet, yep. Boots. Okay. Joel, do you know off the top of your head roughly what he's going to have to come out of his fire budget this year?
Well, wait a minute. So right now there's $88,109.97 in the Corona Relief Fund to use.
There's 88,000?
Yes.
Okay. My math was off, and I was thinking we were less than that.
Well, so your fund status report shows as of today. So the only thing it doesn't address is, like, purchases made on the credit card, and anything that was not able to be billed because it was back ordered. But if we are receiving $332.79.19, and Tony, how much did you say that was? 86?
86, 880.
880 and no change? So there's still some additional CARES Act money to be used to cover any other CARES Act expenses as long as they don't exceed.
Right. And Joel, there will be November and as much of December as we can capture COVID compliant expenses in there as well.
Yeah.
We've gone through the end of October, right?
Yeah, but I don't want to do any more wages if I can help it. That's a big, that's a lot of work. I would rather stick to what we have outstanding first, you know, items that we purchased or will purchase.
Okay.
I did a lot of wage adjustments. It took me 4 hours just to do the fire department, and
I bet you did.
It's because you. It just sucks.
Yeah.
So yes, there's money in the coronavirus relief fund to cover the turnout gear. Tony, let me ask real quick, because you told me that if we delete that belt, that'll save us $200 a coat. A pan, I'm sorry?
That was not an accurate number. I did not have an accurate number from the vendor. He only referenced about $100.
Okay. So it'd be...
And I'm willing to be flexible.
Right.
Not every individual may need that life safety belt. It's just more easier to be consistent with everybody across the board.
Yeah. Because earlier you talked about omitting it altogether. To help with, you know, getting the better gear, but not necessarily getting something that we wouldn't use. You know, if it came down to it, I guess, right? You know, trying to compromise here, but not there. I mean, you could...
I'm disagreeing with you.
My recommendation on that is, if you're going to get the belt on all the gear. If you're not, don't get it on any
right.
of it, because we know how it is. That gear, you know, somebody leaves, that gear gets passed on to somebody else, so... You know, I would either go completely with the belt or all of them without, in my opinion.
Yeah. I guess you guys could approve him not to exceed a certain dollar amount, right?
Yeah.
And say, well, hey, Tony, it's you said 86,880, 87,000, and, you know.
Now, Joel, we don't need to take delivery on this before the deadline. We just got to have the invoice.
Yeah,
correct.
We have to have spent the money, because there's no way that this turnout gear, even if it was 2 months ago, was going to be available that quickly. It's not possible.
Chief, they don't have a problem getting us an invoice for this. They can go ahead and do all that.
I'm about that. That's fully capable. But they're doing it. Both vendors are hitting this with everybody. And the vendor that particularly choosing... this is not anything relation to a, he's a salary employee, he's not a,
commission based.
Yeah, he doesn't
get a commission.
Yeah. Okay.
But I would want to make sure that we have that invoice. I mean, I want to pay that sucker ASAP so we know where we stand with any other COVID related expenses that we can charge against before, you know, before December 28th. I don't even want to say December 28th. I want to say well before that. So, yeah.
I'm confident that the vendor will comply with the invoice for this with no problem.
All right, very good. Okay, let's see, the next, Joel, are you ready to move on to the next one? This is really for discussion.
Yeah, do you want to make a motion?
Make a motion.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. So, go ahead, Joel, or, no.
I move to purchase 30 sets of turnout gear, per the Chief's pick, and I'll just say let's not to exceed 87,000. You guys comfortable with that?
Yep.
With the $200 there, so just give it a nice round number. So that's my motion. Not to exceed 87,000 for 30 sets of the turnout gear per the Chief's pick.
That's with the belt on, too, then, on everybody.
Yep.
Right?
I believe that was right. Right, Chief?
That included everything. Everything would be the same.
Okay, perfect. Yep.
Right now, we currently have about three different manufacturers. manufacturers out there in the truck bay.
Okay.
But again, this is the second set of gear, so this is so they can replace them, or, I mean, switch them back and forth.
Great. So that's my motion.
I'll second it.
Okay, roll call. Mark Sattler?
Yes.
Bill Miller?
Yes.
Dave Bench?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, very good. All right, the next item, this is for discussion, and I don't know if we'll need to go there or not, but one possibility for COVID, there isn't a precedent for this yet, but we saw record unlimited pickup expenses due to the COVID-19 stay-at-home order. And, you know, our unlimited pickup expenses were probably double what we would normally see.
Yep.
So one possibility, if there are still additional COVID monies, do we allocate that excess unlimited pickup expense to the COVID funds? We would since it's a new issue. I haven't seen a precedent out there. We probably have to get a legal opinion on that.
That's what I'm going to ask. Is there a precedent about
that? When I was searching through the Ohio Township Association examples, I didn't see that out there. So that would be I would put that at the very bottom of the list. If we had to resort to that. But it wouldn't be on the top of the list. Any thoughts as to whether we should keep it there or whether we should abandon that completely?
Well, keep it there if you want to investigate it. You know, I don't see anything wrong with it. You know.
Okay. All right. Next one, Joel.
Yeah.
You had recommended replacing the tables and chairs for the Hall Fire Department in the offices with equipment that had hard surfaces and could be successfully sanitized, because the equipment we have is old and is porous, and we cannot really safely sanitize it.
Right. So another idea that Kevin, myself, and the fire chief had was between the fire department, the meeting room, and the fire department, the back hall, the office in the township, we have tables and chairs that are not able to be cleaned as well as they should be for this. And, you know, the hall we utilize for food pantry pickup, and they set food and items directly on those tables, and then also butts and seats at meetings. When we do have people come to the office, you know, the limited time that they're in there. So if it's something to consider, it would definitely be a good use of this money if we happen to remain to look at replacement of tables and or chairs so that we can, so Kevin and Eric and then whoever does, you know, the cleaning that happens in the fire department, you know, they can do a better job. So, I mean, at most we're, and this is of course, just like the garbage pickup, if there's funds available, I mean, if we did all the tables and the chairs that we need to, we're looking at $15,000 of plastic, you know, heavy-duty, able to sanitize tables and chairs. If something we could revisit later, that if we have funds remaining in this, we could potentially consider that as well.
Yeah, the chairs are pretty old. A lot of them were used when we got them. So.
Yeah, and
the chairs are really bad.
Yeah, and the problem is that they're torn. They're cloth. They're vinyl. They are not sanitary. They're not a material you can effectively clean. So
and the fire department. Sorry, I think the ones in the hall should be steel, just like they are. But
yeah,
if we get tables in there, I think we should get a better that weight. Plastic is not cleanable. You can't. It's rough. If we could get something better, it's going to be awful costly.
Yeah, that's definitely an option to look at. So
good idea.
Yeah. no decision to be made, just more of just an FYI, I guess.
Okay. All right, great, thanks. Mm-hmm. So that's we'll hold that in reserve as well, okay? All right. And, Joel, you made a quick reference to the Bureau of Workers' Comp dividend.
Yeah.
Great, that's nice that that'll come back.
Yep.
Okay. Anything else, Joel, on fiscal office report?
Nope. Everybody else's meetings have to be half as long. Reports have to be half as long. So.
Okay. All right, moving on. Fire Department, Chief Tony.
Okay, one of the things that just got sent to us and has been distributed out to all of our firefighter EMTs is a survey submitted from the county. That's all in relation to the incoming vaccine. So I will be diligent to make sure every individual acknowledges it and completes that survey, because it's critical to the county. That will help the county to get our vaccines and get started.
Good. Let me take you back on your statement. I'm going to jump ahead to item of new business I was going to bring up. So I attended the Lucas County weekly COVID call today at 4 o'clock. The big takeaway for me was that the vaccine is expected to be available locally by mid-December. That'll be reserved for first responders and healthcare workers. So, yeah, Chief Tony, that's imperative that all of your first responders get their questionnaires done so that they can be in that first wave for vaccine administration.
Yep, so I plan on making phone calls soon. The email went out. I'm already getting a few people responding back. It's a very quick survey. It takes less than about 3 minutes to do it, and but it's critical. So,
right.
I wanted to share that with. We do have one individual that is going through the HWO, getting tested. He was exposed outside of the department, but. The nice thing is we have this system in place, and we're utilizing it. So that's going good. I'm really, really pleased at the efforts by a couple of his
firemen. Hang on, I'm going to try to find it where that noise is coming from. Okay, I think I got muted. Okay.
Okay, so the, I want to recognize two individuals that have been absolutely championing the effort against this COVID. One is our maintenance supervisor, Kevin Chapman, and the other one is firefighter Paul Mullen. Those two have just been taking care of this, making sure everything is deconned, making sure the light is being utilized, using the AmbuStat, and I couldn't be more proud to be associated with these individuals taking this effort on, and everything that's the little changes that we've had to make and the changes that have taken place and the reinforcement of everything that they're doing. So. A good recognition needs to go to those individuals for doing a great job. Certainly appreciate that help.
Chief, thank you for recognizing them. Please please pass along our expression of appreciation when you see them as well, and we'll do the same as we have the opportunity to speak with them.
Great. Thank you. Our new members are, I've gotten their all their compliance information. And everyone is actively running. We had an accident today that shut Route 2 down for a few hours, and we had a couple of the individuals that were able to assist us, and it was, it was great to have the additional help. So that worked out really well for us. We doing all of our training via virtual. So we're utilizing our 24/7 and assigning all of those assignments out to everybody. So right now we have no in-house. We're trying to keep everything to a minimum here and being extremely careful. Gentlemen, I'm sorry. I have to take a phone call that I've got to take, so I'm going to have to step off. Someone else can go. Please do. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. We'll come back to the chief in a little bit. Mike is not on the line, so we'll skip the Recreation Department report. Linda Rossler.
The only thing I have today is that I did meet with the prosecutor in regards to the Stanton case, and I have to draft a letter, so I'd like someone to review that letter before I send it in. It's in regards to Mr. Stanton wanting to clean up, but also wanting the township to say that he's allowed to operate his business.
Linda, I'm happy to provide an extra set of eyes if you wish.
Okay. Yep, I would appreciate that. I'll send it your way as I draft it.
Okay, thank you.
That's all I have at this point. If you have any questions, and I'm not sure what you have on your agenda.
Let's see. The Alzale is on hold. Any health department response regarding the lot?
I've got nothing from them in regards to that. I've contacted them twice. Okay. And I know they're busy with other things, so.
Okay. The next item is any, you're coming up to the potential for zoning board members' term expiration and credentials for, what you're looking for candidates for that board.
Correct, and I did send something. I haven't had time to look at that since I drafted the proposal that I had drafted. I don't think I've looked at that in at least a month.
Okay. Did you send that to us?
I thought I did.
I don't recall seeing it. Not to say I didn't. You didn't send it, but I don't recall seeing that either.
Okay. I'll revisit that tomorrow.
Great. And resend that to us or okay. That'd be great. Thanks.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Nothing else for zoning then, Linda?
Yeah.
No, nothing else. Yeah, go ahead.
I just threw what we're going to do with the loose. We said we were going to come back to this meeting, and I just wondered what was going to happen.
Yeah, I guess it depends on what you want to do. I didn't get any response back from the prosecutor.
Well,
and I don't know if anyone else did.
We have the money there. I just wondered, should we make a motion and hire that lawyer from, I don't know his name, but that would do it for $1,500 or $2,000. We have the money on the zoning there, so I just so we get something done here, we'll wait. It doesn't look like they're gonna. Well, I think he's busy enough the way it is, Mr. Burrell.
Yeah, I really don't think that they want to take the case per se. I mean, I think they'll give us advice, but as far as taking a case to court, I think that's kind of where they're drawing the line, and that's why we're not getting a response.
Is this something that? On this particular thing, Linda, is this something that this should be going in front of the BZA for? Shouldn't they be the ones doing this since they're the ones that grant the special use and revoke the special use?
They have already done that. And we already have the judge ruling that they are supposed to operate according to their special use permit, and they're not abiding by it. So the next step, which is the last step, is for a judge or for us to file an injunction against them. the attorney's name is Jeff Stofar, by the way, that has said he would take the case and file the injunction for them operating outside of their special use permit.
I could make a motion that we hire, how do you spell his name?
Stofar,
like something like that?
Yep.
I don't know, I could make a motion that we hire this Jeff Stofar to finish off this case on Lewis, so we finally come to a conclusion on this.
I can second that.
Okay, yep. Okay, so Mark was a second. What's the cost, I'm sorry, for the attorney to file the injunction?
$1,500 to $2,000, I believe, if I remember right.
Can I ask a question? Would this cost us any more than that? If we hire an attorney, are we... Like, we use the Ohio... We use that a township association attorney, right?
You can't use that.
Okay, so motion, then we have second by Mark Settler. Let's do roll call. Bo Miller?
No.
Dave Bench?
Yes.
Mark Settler?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Right, I'll contact him tomorrow.
Okay. Anything else, Linda, under zoning?
Nope, that's all I have.
Thank you. Kevin, maintenance department report.
All right. Since everybody else was quick tonight, I'll make mine pretty quick, too. As far as road and bridge at this point, we had that storm last week, I believe it was, last weekend or weekend before last. We had several trees come down. We still have to finish cleaning up a couple areas. There were some residents that wanted to cut them up for firewood, and when I was down by there today, they still weren't complete yet, so I'm hoping that next week we can clean several of those areas up that where the trees had come down across the road. Hopping to the cemetery, obviously we're at a standstill. There's a bunch of water as far as the grading part of it. The pond is actually done and stoned. He wanted me to wait before I start filling it. He wanted to try to get the overflow in. He's supposed to get back with me tomorrow and let me know, but the earliest will be the first of the week. I'm hoping to set the pump and start filling the pond.
Kevin, quick question. I came past there today. There's two piles of earth. One to the west and one to the east. Is one of them topsoil and one of them fill?
No, both of them are topsoil. Those will go on the top section and dress up around the pond so grass will grow.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
And I did reach out to the county engineers. You'll see all the stakes out in the field. I had them come. We were making good progress. So I had them come out. They staked the tile runs, and they staked the center of the driveway. So they're pretty deep set lines. He should be able to follow those. And he was also going to try to set some of his own pins and get measurements off just in case those disappeared. But I think we're pretty safe because anybody steps up here now, they're going to go up to at least their ankles in mud. So, but yeah, they come out and did that for us. And that is all I have at this point, other than, you know, we did receive our other UV light in. We've used that. Well, I have used that in the back hall and office area. Both of the AmbuStats that are the chemical disinfectants, we've used both of them in the fire station and also in the hall and shop area to sanitize. So they're working good. I do have some other supplies that need to come in and be billed to COVID money yet. That's the touch-free dispensers. We got part of the order a week ago, and the other part was like a week or so out, and he's supposed to be sending me a hard bill on the rest of them. So if they end up not coming in the next week or so, we got the bill so we can pay it. And that's all I got, unless you guys got something for me.
How much is that bill for, the remaining dispensers? Just wondering.
I'm thinking it's under $1,500. I'm trying to remember if all the chemicals were in there that we ordered too, but I don't think we'd be over $1,500 for the rest of the dispensers and product ordered.
Okay. I guess the reason I bring that up real quick is because we're coming down to the wire here of this CARES Act money. What is still outstanding would be, you know, besides the elephant in the room with the turnout gear being as large as it is, you know, we're probably going to be utilizing maybe some of our own funds if necessary, I guess. But it won't be significant, it sounds like. So.
No, it won't be that much. And Tony's on his own with his turnout gear. I placed my order first.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure that's how that works.
And I'll have my bill tomorrow.
Yeah, it's whoever turns in the bill first. So you probably... Tony's got a lot of work to do to get his bill to me tomorrow morning. Timestamp it.
Alright, you know, that's all I have unless you guys got some other questions.
Nothing for me. Thank you very much, Kevin. Okay, let's see. Nothing else on cemetery. Bo, we had canceled the rentals for November due to the COVID infection spike. That infection spike does not appear to be letting up.
No, it does not.
We will have to, this is the meeting where we need to decide on December. Do you have a recommendation?
I recommend we hold a study with canceling the hall rentals for the month of December. Just because of the spike with the county and across the whole state.
I support that. Joel, do you need a motion or just a decision?
Oh, no. You guys have just been talking about it. I've just been throwing in the meeting minutes, so.
Okay.
No, there's nothing.
Gentlemen?
Yes.
Gentlemen, this is the chief. Sorry to interrupt. Don't forget we have Red Cross tomorrow. That's, I think, the last event.
Oh, that's right. That is tomorrow. Okay.
We do a blood drive tomorrow, so I just didn't want you to make a rule that you may have didn't want to make a mistake on.
No, this is to really discourage rentals.
Okay, thank you. Didn't mean that.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Kevin, I assume that that hall will be sanitized before and after the Red Cross, right?
Yes, they will. If we don't run it out right now, it's ready to go. And after they're done, I will UV it, we'll wash everything down, then I will AmbuStat it also.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Okay, so we will cancel hall rentals for the month of December as well.
And I do have one in the book for the 18th of December. And I think that might have been Linda. You might have talked about that one. I don't know if that one was just a date you wanted me to check on. But then the 18th is in the book, which, you know, I'm fine with the blood drives.
Yeah, we have been. We've had them every month, and we've kind of let them go because of the they have an urgent need. So
right. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
You know what that means, Dave? You gotta get out and give your blood again.
Yep. I think I give again tomorrow.
What's the hours? Is that 10 to 3?
I think it's 12 to 4.
12 to 4. Got it. Thanks. Okay.
They haven't called me yet, though. They usually call me and set me up an appointment, so maybe I can't get here.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, next, roads and bridges. Dave, we wanted to talk a little bit about the drainage issues on Lagoon Drive.
Yeah, I was investigating that 8-inch pipe across the lagoon. And I will camera that and see where that 8-inch goes so we can figure out what to do with that 6-inch that's dumping water on our road. So that's an ongoing thing there, and I don't know when I'll get the guy out to camera that. And then we're waiting for an estimate, too, back for the catch basin, if we do it or not, along with it, too. Everything's just
in
planning stage right now.
So, Dave, just to make something clear here, that 6-inch that you're talking about is the one where the hole is dug currently alongside the road. Yeah.
Right along the scratch.
Yep. So that's the one that you want to scope to see where that one goes?
No.
Or you want to go the 8-inch under the road?
The 8-inch,
because
I would like to hook the 6-inch into that 8-inch.
Okay. And then that way it would go across the road into the ditch?
Yeah, into that big 8-inch.
Okay.
And go across the middle of our road.
Okay. So we're just everything. You're just got to get everything scoped yet.
Yeah.
See where everything goes. So nothing's getting dug anytime soon.
Nope.
Okay. So that once you have the scope information, then we'll come back to a future meeting for further discussion.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Old business. Dave, any update on decant ditch petition?
I haven't taken it yet. They haven't done anything on the other ones. I haven't been in there recently.
That's fine. That's no problem. I'll keep.
Leave it on there.
Okay. Trash pickup. I'm going to table that. I don't have any new information back yet from Republic, so that'll be kept on there for a future meeting. Healthcare premiums. I'm going to table that for the next meeting. Our form fire results are not back yet. And we expect to have them back within a week. So I think our next meeting is December 8th, and we'll be able to bring all that information up for decision at that time. And I'll have Julie zoom in to that meeting as well.
Hey, Mark, on the insurance there with Sprouse.
Right.
They've been doing this. I mean, obviously, Dave, you can probably tell me better, because since I've been in it, it's been Sprouse Insurance. Have we ever, like, have they always been the best price for us, or is it just kind of a...
Usually, they are the best. We had another lady that lived over on Cousineau and Cedar Point. We had it for maybe a couple of years, but Sprouse have always been really good with us, good service,
okay.
And usually they're most reasonable price. We even tried some big one, Kent Savage. We Kevin and I had Savage come in one time, and they could not beat Sprouse, and we thought, you know, somebody from Toledo, and, you know, the Savage name, wow, you know.
Yeah.
Couldn't beat them.
Yeah, yeah, an interesting issue right now is that under the Affordable Care Act, there are so many mandates for ACA compliant plans that, and I've looked at several dozen ACA compliant options. Every single one of them is far more expensive than what we are seeing. Currently, because we have stayed with the same company and the same insurer, Paramount, Medical Mutual. Since we stay with the same one, we fall under a provision called the grandmothering provision, which provides us with a, if you will, a safe harbor, so we don't have to comply with all of the ACA provisions, because we're keeping what was already in place. And each year that grandmothering provision is extended another year. Well, it's been extended, so it's good through 2021. And that is by far the best price. Any ACA compliant plan out there is substantially more expensive than what we've got.
Hey, Mark.
Sorry, Joel, did you have a
comment? Well, when that expires in 2021, that grandmothering, that sounds so nice, makes it feel like we're getting a deal here.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, that's just, you know, helps with the sting. In 2021, when that expires, are we thinking, or are you thinking that is going to go away and then we will end up bearing the burden of a higher insurance premium in the future?
Well, we don't really know, because a grandmothering provision was to expire at the end of 2020. But partway through 2020, it was extended another year. So, and this has happened a number of years now. So it's really just a year by year. Do they extend the grandmothering provision for another year, in which case we can choose between staying with what we've got or choosing from the ACA compliant options that are out there, or will there be a change in the future with respect to ACA and available plans? It's really a year by year decision.
And they've been extending it since it became law.
It's been at least 3 or 4 years now.
Yeah.
I think
it's like usually in June when they make the decision on whether they're going to extend it.
Correct.
See what happens.
Everybody keeps their fingers crossed they keep extending it.
Yep.
Well, I think one thing that's just food for thought as the fiscal officer, if we make concessions to our how we do operations in the future, like we've discussed in the past, it'll prepare us better for the inevitable, which I think is going to happen no matter what we hope for, which is more expensive to provide health insurance and having us to make a decision, you know, do we provide less coverage for our employee or pay more, and how does that affect, you know, everything else?
Right.
Yeah.
Bo, any update on the John T. Kennedy Park?
Well, I guess the big question is, like, did you guys I sent in that a couple weeks ago, that scaled back version that we had talked about, where the wetlands wasn't as large,
right,
with what the state, you know, what they recommended by scaling it back. I'm trying to pull mine out here. I think I got the original one here. So everything stayed basically the same, the distance from the property line, the way the dike was built, that all stayed the same. They just scaled it back. I think they dropped it down to 7 acres or 10 acres, and then we gave us more of the prairie ground. And then in talking with Mark Witt from the ODNR, he strongly suggested to get with the fire department about doing a burn and burning that off before they actually, if we start digging. And I know the chief has assigned, I think Josh Swanson, I talked to him, he said that they're working through the permit process with the state about burn. So I guess the big thing is we need to know, are we going to go forward with this with what the U.S. Fish and Wildlife and ODNR have proposed? Because one of the contractors that we can use is Philip Excavating, who is actually doing our cemetery right now. Or we could pick anybody else. And the way it works is
since we are the private, or not private, since we are the landowners, we send it out, we just send it out to like three or four people. It's just basically the what they give us here. We get to choose the contractor, and then the bill gets sent to, right to the state. We don't have to pay a dime.
Okay. Bo, is there some kind of a document, or do we need to pass a resolution? What's our paperwork for this? Anything from the Fish and Wildlife Division?
There won't be an agreement from the Fish and Wildlife that they sent to us, but he did not want to get involved with going that far yet until we had made up our mind on what we were going to do, if we were going to proceed. So I guess we should, if we're going to do it, we probably, Joel, what do you think, a motion?
Yeah, but
I do have the email also, just so we're all on the same page. I do have the email, and I can forward that on to you. I forgot to send that package from the school stating that they will maintain those dikes. I think it was in there, like, I want to say, like, they were mowing, like, six times a year in the mowing season or something like that. It was pretty much once a month during the mowing season. It was from, like, May to September or something, or whatever it had in there. But that was one of the things that I wanted to get from the schools, and they sent that to us. And then when we were down at the visit down there in Granville, Ohio, what really piqued my interest was how involved the ODNR stayed in it. It wasn't something they just did and walked away. They stayed in there and helped with the invasive species, and they helped do things. So that's kind of where I'm at with it. So I guess we need to either make a motion or what, so we can proceed with an agreement from the DNR.
Yeah, it sounds like you need a motion, Bo.
I'm a landowner next to it, and Bo, I'm in favor of the park, but I'm not in favor of the wetlands. I think prairie grass, something like they have over in Northwood, that park over there is great. But I can't see, you know, you're in the highest point of the township. If we had a creek there or something beside it, and we had some low ground, I said, yeah, that'd be great. But I can't see putting a wetland there and back there either. I'm not in favor. I am in favor of the park, the prairies, and all that kind of stuff like that, just like Northwood kind of. But I'm not in favor of the parks.
Okay, so I'll make a motion, and we'll make a motion to proceed with, if we want to proceed with what the ODNR has proposed here, with the scaled back wetlands, the prairie ground up front, to get an agreement with them.
And the school, right?
And the school, yeah.
School.
Yeah. Oh, is there, I mean, you said that you've got some other stuff from the school, some other documentation. Do you want to share that with
us? I can. I just don't have it on this computer.
Should we bring it up at the next meeting then, once we have that stuff in hand?
That's fine. I mean, it's basically just an email that states that they're going to maintain the dikes. They're going to hold the dikes once a month.
Okay. All right. Well, if you'll send that out, then that's fine. We can act on it next meeting.
Okay.
Okay. Any other old business? Hearing none. New business. Anything on township-owned properties?
No, I actually have been in the office three or four times, and I never walked over to my desk because I was always going to Joel's office. But I did pick up the paperwork. Linda had left a nice folder with all those properties that we had talked about with the locations on them, the aerial maps. So we just got to get, you know, one or two of us to go around and kind of look at them. And we kind of know where some of them are at, but there's some of them that are on old paper roads that don't even exist. And see if we can then reach out, I guess we'll have to figure out what we think they're worth, and then trying to reach out to adjoining property owners, which I know Linda said she had done at one time, and she didn't get, there was no real luck with that. And then, if not, then if we just we sell them off or whatever, try and get them out of the township's name. The big thing would be mapping them out, and we'll, you know, we'll try and get them mapped out and take a drive one day and we'll kind of go look.
Okay, so you want to keep this on the agenda then?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Number two, House Bill 404, I just got wind of this in the last day or two. The authority, the public authority for electronic meetings was set to expire at the end of this calendar year. The Attorney General has extended that through July 1, or rather this House Bill 404 has extended that through July 1 of 2021. So all that means is, you know, we can continue to meet by Zoom for, you know, at least currently out to the end until COVID is under control. All right. Any other new business? Hearing none, is there any public participation? Going once, is there any public participation? And final call, is there any public participation? Hearing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
Uh-huh.
And I can second that. So, Joel, you have a motion from David, a second from Mark.
Roll call. Bo Miller?
Yes.
Dave Bench?
Yes.
Mark Sadler?
Yes.
Motion carried, A12.
Very good. Thank you, everyone. Next meeting is December 8th, 7 p.m. on Zoom. Thank you very much.
Thank you. See you guys. 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 Thank you.